Well, it's just hot. It's hot out there. That's what it is. It's hot. And it's the news, according to me. Good afternoon. It is 12. Let's see. It's 12:08 Central Standard Time. It's 1:08 Eastern Standard Time, and I am starting the show here from Moline, Illinois, as promised. I thought I would possibly get a show in this morning, and I got up. I did get awake this morning. Got awake early enough that I thought I was going to be able to get a show going. I just wasn't feeling it. It just wasn't there. It just didn't feel like it was something I could do. I just didn't. Technology Tuesday can kind of wait. I guess the show can always wait. You can probably say that the show could probably go on without going on. You're probably not going to literally, you know, it's not going to change the world if I don't show up. But maybe it will. I don't know. The show goes out to a lot of places. Maybe somebody out there that hears my show. That's always that possibility. You know, there's like one guy, I think, that there's just a few, a handful of people that had an influence on Billy Graham's life. One particular individual that I'm aware of who led Billy Graham to faith. And it's what's amazing to me about that is that I think it wasn't who you think. There was a tent meeting, and there was an usher. That, you know, I think this is a similar story back in the day when all these tent meetings used to happen. In fact, I know my father-in-law, who later became a preacher, a very good preacher, well-known preacher, actually, was in a situation where he went to this tent meeting with some friends of his with a very sole purpose of making fun of the guy. This will be a funny thing. It'll be a joke. We're going to go over there and watch this crazy tent meeting folks over there. Same thing happened with Billy Graham. He has a very similar story. They went to this meeting with the intention of just screwing around. They didn't have anything else to do. They were just going to go screw around. This is back, you know, before the internet. They went over there, and I think this one usher, they showed up, and the place was packed. The place was, you know, overloaded. And this usher found a seat for Billy Graham to sit in. Otherwise, he would have ended up walking away from that thing. And it was at that meeting where he became a believer, made that decision. And I think that it had an effect. You know, that usher hadn't done that. There's so many things like that I think are and that's that one person who just happens to do one little thing. And that person might be out there hearing the show. Maybe something I say might affect that person. Who knows? It's the butterfly effect. The whole thing of, we don't know the little things that we say throughout the day, the little gestures, the little things that we possibly might do might just push someone or draw someone to that line of decision, that point. Because I guarantee you God is working on everyone's heart all the time, trying to bring them around to that point of decision all the time. A lot of people, you know, find a way to squirm out of it, and then God, he just tries again to get them there. Anyway, having said all that, I have in my cup this morning, we have some callers calling in about this Technical Tuesday, Technology Tuesday, whatever you're going to call it. We have there's a sweeper outside the door, speaking of technology, an electric vacuum sweeper. And they're banging up against my door now with the vacuum. That's kind of pleasant. That's a good... This is the hotel I was in, I think, last week when someone was trying to break into my hotel. And it was actually just the cleaning lady who didn't announce herself. She just started trying to get in the door. Actually, I had the door locked and latched. And fortunately, I had the little cover thing, you know, the little thing that keeps them from coming in. Middle of the day like this, and all of a sudden someone was busting in, and Didn't announce themselves or anything. Didn't say cleaning lady. Didn't say anything. Just kind of started trying to make it in. Didn't make it in the door. Very interesting day. Anyway, the I have a in my main little cup here. I have very little left, but I actually broke down today and went to Starbucks for an iced chai, which I hardly ever go to Starbucks for anything anymore. But it was right there. I had a little time, and I was trying to kill some time. There was a maintenance issue with the airplane. I didn't know what to do for a little while, so I went over to the I went past the Starbucks. And I was like, you know, I haven't gotten an iced chai from Starbucks for a long time. It's been several months. Decided to go do that just to see. For a while, I didn't like the chai there. It kind of lost its flavor. It just wasn't very good. And it'd been a long time since I had one. I thought I'll try it again. I tried it, and it actually was good today. I don't know whether they just changed, and they got it done very quickly as well. It's kind of strange. In my main backup cup here, I have sweet tea from Popeyes, which is not very good. It is sweet and it is tea, but it's not. It's certainly not Chick-fil-A. There's only the Chick-fil-A from this hotel is about 4 miles away, and I'm not walking to a Chick-fil-A in this heat. Normally, I think I have walked to a Chick-fil-A before. That particular one, I have to go over a bridge to get there. But I think I actually did walk to a Chick-fil-A once here, not too far. It's 4 mile walk. But I had plenty of time. Like if I left right now, it would take me about an hour and a half to get there, probably maybe a little less than that. I can usually walk about a 15 to 16 minute mile. So really, it's about an hour away. But in this heat, it's I think the heat index is over 100 degrees right now. So it's just not going to happen. I do have a backup to the backup, and it's just a water bottle. I'm drinking lots of that, too. That's just great. Anyway, I don't have any ice. I need to get some ice. I need lots of ice. In the meantime, that's all I got to say about that. We've got this little disclaimer we're going to play, and then we're going to go on from there, and we're going to talk about, just going to go jump right into the show, I guess. Going to just jump right into that thing, see what ends up happening. Here you go.
Welcome to the news, according to me. Pull up a chair, I'll share what I believe. I've done my reading, I've got thoughts or two. But I'm not your doctor, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer. I'm definitely not your financial advisor. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth. Entertainment only, baby. That's the news, the news according to me and me alone. Now let's get started. Ooh. Welcome to the show.
All right, that's correct. That is all true. I just don't count on me for anything. I have this is just for entertainment. So I got some callers here. Let's jump in. See what we'll just go right down the order here. Let's just see who's at the top. Looks like it's going to be. I got to make sure I get the volume turned up. I had the volume turned down because I had other things running. See what happens. Hopefully this thing works. We'll see if it works or not. I'll just jump right in here with
Kevin, quick question. Everyone's saying AI is going to revolutionize everything, but I'm skeptical. If these chatbots can't even get basic facts right without hallucinating false information, why should we trust them with anything important? Aren't we just replacing human errors with algorithmic ones that are even harder to catch?
You know, it's a good question, and I have experienced a great deal of frustration with AI bots. Actually, even on this show, I've trying to work through some of the issues, the background stuff that's there. We're entering a very interesting time in our history of, and especially in technology. There is a subsidy program right now that goes on with the compute power. Most people are doing it. Like you can go on to chat GPT and you can go to OpenAI, whatever you want to, Anthropic or whatever you go to, and you can actually use it for free to some degree. There's some limitations. Well, it's not free for the companies that are out there that are providing this service. They're being subsidized, and those subsidies will eventually go away. Excuse me. And so there's a time here where things are going to change. But yeah, to your point about the whole issue of, you know, we can't even, you know, all we're doing is exchanging one problem for another. And it's harder. I think people put an awful lot of trust in the whole AI thing and think that it's somehow super smart, super intelligence. And it's always going to give you the right answer. It's always going to try to give you an answer. And sometimes an answer is wrong. Now, sometimes you can, you know, you can set it up to do certain things. You can put limitations on it. You can make it say, I want verifiable sources. I want all this stuff. You know, you can, that takes a lot of effort on our part. You would just think that it would just, it's just going to give you the proper information to begin with. The problem is there's a whole lot of information out there. It's just gleaning information from the internet, and any kind of information out there that's wrong or that's bad, it's just going to glean that information and give it to you. And then it's also going to make things up because it's trying to respond. It's trying to give you an answer. And sometimes that answer is wrong. And what I've experienced on this particular show, for example, is that sometimes it just mirrors everything that I say. And basically repeats back things a little bit differently and tries to agree with me, and it doesn't give me any new information. Now, occasionally, especially a couple of the bots, actually do some research. And I can occasionally ask it a question. I'll ask one of these guys a question, and they'll actually look for that information and give it to me. It's a wonderful thing when that happens. That's kind of the discussion type thing I would like to have. And there's going to be that kind of thing with other bots that are being created in the background. Some things that I'm putting together for the show, for options for people who want to be a part of the podcast caller. But that's kind of the whole point of this whole thing is that you can kind of talk to the internet and be able to actually glean proper and correct information. The hallucinations, as they call them, or the weird things that they do, sometimes are very frustrating. Now, there's things called agents, things like OpenClaw and Hermes and those kinds of things that you can develop these little agents that will do things on your computer. They'll do things for you, check your emails, respond to emails. They'll give you a daily report of what's going on with your schedule, with your emails, with everything that's happening with a sales program. It will set up sales. It will do all these things for you. And it's kind of independent. It will utilize or use whatever kind of services, whether it's Anthropic or OpenAI or Grok or whatever it is, Gemini, whatever the background service is, DeepSeek, whatever it is. It will use those, you know, if you give it API keys, or it will just use computer use. It will do whatever it needs to use to set something up. You can say, hey, build me this. Build me an app that will do whatever. And it will try to do that for you. Now the frustration is that you can't just one time prompt it like that and it's going to give you what you want. It's going to require a whole lot more input and a lot more details on your part to make it happen. And I think that's the problem, I think, that most people have with AI right now, with the issues that they're having with the bots doing weird things, is that they don't prompt properly. And that's where the work is involved in doing a proper prompt, and people just trust it to do what it, you know, and just believe what it says. So I think there's issues with that. I think part of it's the user experience, the really good people that know what's going on, are running into those kinds of issues. So I think that's kind of where that's where some of that is at, anyway. So I'll hesitate here for a moment to let Skip think about that. What do you think?
Now, hold on. Oh. You're hitting on something real here that everybody glosses over. Yeah. People treat these things like they're oracles when they're really just very fancy autocomplete machines that got trained on everything the internet threw at them.
That is exactly
bad.
That is absolutely right.
Back in my day, we had to actually find information. And yeah, it took longer, but at least you knew where it came from and could verify it. The subsidy thing you mentioned is dead on, too. Once that money dries up, we'll see how free and helpful these systems really want to be.
Yeah, we actually had to look things up and go to the sources. So just, you Google something, it can find some information. But of course, then you got advertisements on top of that. Now that's which is something else that's going to happen with this whole AI business is that there's going to be, you know, they're finding ways to monetize it with advertising. Which is when the subsidies stop, they'll have to subsidize it with advertising. Which already is happening. If you ask, AI, say you ask ChatGPT to find, say you're working on your car and you're trying to change your brakes. How do I change my brakes? Well, it'll say, you need to go to this store and buy the brakes or whatever. You can order here's a place where you can order the brakes, order the brake parts, whatever it is. People are going to pay to have that kind of response from AI software. So it's just, you know, the interface is going to basically, they're going to pay to get clicks, basically pay to get the mentions from the AI models and the suggestions to put those things forward. So that's going to happen. And it's unfortunate, you know, just like you get sponsored responses from, you know, pay-per-click type advertising. When you type in something on Google, the first three or four, sometimes 10 responses are sponsored responses. In other words, those people pay to get those clicks in front of you. Amazon does the same thing. You get people to pay to put their product at the top of the list. So it's kind of a it's an eventual thing. It's going to happen with the whole AI marketplace. So it's just going to that's how they're going to end up subsidizing or paying for things, because we can't, the average subscriber, if you pay $100 a month for a particular AI service, whether it's Anthropic, whatever it is, your value, the amount, actual cost to the normal retail market for what you can get out of that is probably closer to $1,000. That's how much subsidy is going on right now. So that's the kind of thing we have to kind of deal with as time goes on.
Hey, Kev. Right? Yeah. Love the show. I've been diving deep into the technical specs on these new AI training models, and I'm seeing some concerning data patterns. Mm-hmm. With big tech companies now consuming more electricity for AI data centers than entire small countries.
Yeah.
What are the actual kilowatt hour costs per query?
Boy.
And why aren't they being transparent about the environmental impact when they lecture us about climate change?
Well, it's funny you should ask that question. I was going to ask you that question. Maybe you can answer that question and kind of know what the actual average cost per query is. That seems like data that you should be able to find somewhere on the internet. Is that something you can find? What is the average cost per query from just the average cost? And we're just looking for ballpark figures here. We're not asking for exact amounts. Just between the major players, the major frontier models like ChatGPT, OpenAI, Anthropic, and Grok, and like X, that kind of thing. What is the average cost for them when the average prompt is out there? Just a ballpark idea. I guess I'm not. Well, I am speaking. Why is it not picking me up? What's going on here? Telling me to speak first, then press respond. It should be picking up my, I know what's going on. Let's try this. We'll try that. Maybe it's working better now. Now it's working. So what is the actual cost, the average cost per query? Just the average between all the, I have to ask it again because it didn't hear me. So for some reason, I guess some reason it didn't hear me. What is the average cost out there per query of the frontier models in terms of what it actually costs them before the subsidies? Do you have any idea what that might be? Just a ballpark idea.
Actually, the per query cost for most LLMs is fractions of a cent, like $0.01 to $0.01, depending on the model and input length, which is why they need ads or subscriptions to make it work economically.
Yeah, so that looks like a tenth of a penny is what he's telling us, a hundredth to a tenth of a penny, depending on the model and the input length. Now, that's, I think he's not talking about per query. He's talking about per token. I think that he's kind of confused that a little. Maybe not. That's what it looks like to me. Now, to get deeper into it with regard to the cost per model and everything that's going on with it, the environmental impact, everything that's going on there, I think the environmental impact is somewhat hyped up. I don't think that there is quite as much of an impact environmentally as some of the opponents would have you believe. A lot of the cooling systems are self-contained. They're not just dumping groundwater, you know, pumping out groundwater and pumping it back in. There's a lot of cooling systems are actually self-contained. So that's kind of a misnomer. They do use a lot of water. And they also use nitrogen as well, liquid nitrogen, to do some of the cooling. So it's not like it's not quite the issue that they kind of claim it to be. The biggest contamination issues probably are more likely some of the generators that are used. I know that Grok X has a lot of data centers that are actually running on diesel generators. They have diesel or jet engines actually that are running They're actually burning the turbine generators that they're using. Very loud and very they consume a lot of fuel until they get their grid system set up. They're using those to power things. Ironically, so it's kind of the consumption of energy is the biggest issue probably, and it is a huge amount of energy that's being consumed to run the AI systems. So so there are some issues there with environmental concerns because we are burning up a huge amount of energy, and there's coal plants that were scheduled to be shut down. There are no longer on the schedule to be shut down. They don't see an end to them having to be on grid to keep the grids operating, and until we kind of come up with some nuclear nuclear solutions to some of this. You know, the small compact nuclear systems that are used on boats, such as things like aircraft carriers and some of the battleships, destroyers that we have, some of those are nuclear powered, and those are absolutely the macro nuclear systems, I think, are probably going to be the answer to some of this, where they can just contain it, use it specifically for that, as well as they can probably spill energy back into the community with those particular ones. But it's probably the most environmentally friendly and operationally powerful systems to be used at this point. And they, of course, it can keep them secure and that kind of thing because of the enclosed nature that they're going to have with those in terms of the circuitry. So that's my opinion. I don't know if you've looked into that at all, if you have any thoughts on that.
You're right to push back on the distinction. Technically speaking, you're looking at fractions of a cent per token, not per query, since a query can burn through hundreds or thousands of tokens depending on length.
Yeah.
The real cost issue isn't the compute itself, though. It's what you just laid out about energy consumption. Coal plants staying online specifically because AI demands are insatiable. And until we get modular nuclear solutions actually deployed, we're stuck burning fossil fuels to power these systems.
Yeah, and so it's going to take a while to spin all that up and spool all that up. I'm afraid they've gotten a little bit ahead of the, a little bit beyond the pale, I guess, or ahead of the game with that whole process, because we just don't have the nuclear infrastructure to make it happen. and it takes a while to make a nuclear reactor. When they build one for a ship, it's there for, it's kind of made to run for 100 years. The fuel lasts about 20 years, but the reactor itself is made to be on that ship for a long time. So it's kind of a long game that we have to start playing with this stuff, and it's just going to be a little bit more difficult than what I think some people are aware of. So it'd be interesting to see how things unfold here.
Hello again, Kevin. When I look at how Silicon Valley is rushing to deploy AI without proper safeguards, I'm reminded of how the printing press disrupted society in the 1500s, initially controlled by elites, used for propaganda, until ordinary people gained access. Are we seeing history repeat itself where tech oligarchs are gatekeeping this transformative technology to maintain their power over information?
Unfortunately, yes. I think we are headed for an era where there's going to be some power mongering in the midst of all this. Interesting that you should make that correlation between the printing press. That's going back a while, but it is very much a control of information. Which is exactly what the printing press was. It was a control of mass information capabilities. You could communicate a lot of course, not everybody could read back then, but it's and again, you've got a class of people as well now as that don't understand the computer use, the power that they have within a computer and the ability to operate a computer, to really get to make it function in terms of creating a business, online business, that kind of thing. It's a certain group of people that can do that. You narrow down the. It's almost as if it's a certain class. Now people can learn it, and it's the beautiful part about our country is that you can start off from nothing and go from there to actually understanding those kinds of things, get some training and work your way up that ladder and become a software mogul. I mean, I don't believe that Jeff Bezos or there's people out there who are multi billionaire trillionaires that didn't go to college, don't have a college degree, And it's kind of the kind of thing that's just what our country is about. You can work your way up to being, you know, without those kinds of qualifications, you can become something like that just by being the entrepreneur and having the right vision for something. Now, having said that, as you were saying, the technology and the use of it is definitely, I think, going to be, we're kind of setting our own trap as a society in some ways by participating in this stuff. But it will be used, be used against us in some to some degree and to some, you know, ways of looking at it. We're kind of giving AI a whole lot of our information, our personal information, to in order to get the learning model. I see people doing this all the time. They're giving, telling AI, you know, about their entire life. I mean, it knows everything about you. To use an agent to be able to guide and direct everything that you're doing. Well, all that information is being captured and used, if nothing else, for marketing, but also for, you know, it could be also used nefariously against you, you know, a society to control that society. So it's kind of a double-edged sword in some ways. It can help society grow. It can help us, it leverages to be able to do certain things and certain tasks and business and work. At the same time, we're giving it an awful lot of, and the people behind it, who are operating it, who sometimes are out of control with it, but I think that they have more control than they realize, than they will admit to. But it's just an interesting concept. It's always been a problem in our society.
I hear what you're saying about the double-edged sword, and you're absolutely right that literacy and access were the real gatekeepers after the printing press. Same dynamic we're seeing now with code and algorithms. Here's what worries me, though. Mm-hmm. Back then, at least the information itself was visible on the page. Mm-hmm. But now, we're feeding our entire lives into systems whose logic we see, and that's a fundamentally different kind of control than Gutenberg ever had to worry about.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, that I mean, the Gutenberg press was originally designed and it was used, it was put out there, to print the Bible. And unfortunately, Gutenberg, I believe it was Gutenberg, became a martyr. There was a particular denomination that I've mentioned before on this show. I won't talk about it today, but there's a certain denomination, if you want to call it that, I guess, or a certain religion that actually was persecuted and killed individuals who were presumably going against church doctrine, going against church rules, by printing the Bible and getting into the hands of the common man. There was a lot of persecution that happened in those days. Now, the Anabaptist movement, from which I kind of come, as my family has come from, fled the European, the Western culture at that time, because of, you know, some interesting things that were going on there with regard to, I don't know, I see what's happening. I see. There was the Gutenberg press. There was a lot of persecution from anyone. You know, Martin Luther was walking a fine line in what he was doing with the Reformation. At the same time that was going on, the Anabaptist movement was kind of sprouted out of that as well. The Anabaptist movement basically was the movement. Their main concern at that time was problem with the church that existed at the time, the official church, was that they disagreed with infant baptism. They thought that baptism, christening, basically would could only be done as a confession of faith, that just because you were christened into the faith as a child, that you had to make that decision on your own. The child can't, it was above the age of consent, or above, you know. So it's kind of it's just kind of interesting how all that happened. But it was spawned out of the control of the particular denomination that I'm talking about. So it's a tough situation when we get into this kind of thing. It's just, I don't see the church taking over AI. The church doesn't, but the government does. The government and certain, I would call them moguls of our society that have kind of taken over that kind of thing. But it's good interesting information, I should say. Interesting information. Let's check in on the other side of this.
Hey, Kevin. Yeah. So I was trying to use one of those AI image generators to make some patriotic July 4th content, and it kept giving me the weirdest results. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't even understand American symbolism. Is Big Tech's AI actually programmed to be anti-American, or is it just really bad at understanding our culture and values?
Good. That's a good question. I don't know if it's, you know, they kind of, the mask kind of fell off at one point when people were, I think, punching into, it was Gemini. I think it might've been ChatGPT. They're punching in, you know, if you look at, you'd punch in that you want to get pictures of the founding fathers, let's say George Washington, and all the pictures that came back, all the pictures that it would generate were pictures of African Americans who looked like George Washington. Kind of, you know, the same clothes, the same hat, the same whatever. And obviously, there was a problem with that. You know, the founding Thomas Jefferson, who was, you know, was all of a sudden an African American, or Native American. Very, very strange, very weird stuff was going on. Now, that was obviously because there were, they said, well, our algorithms are off, our algorithms are wrong. Sorry, we didn't mean for that to happen. Of course, they didn't mean for that to happen. So it's kind of all of a sudden Thomas Jefferson pops up over here on the queue. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Martin Luther King. These are Martin Luther himself, I guess, in the Reformation. AI's doing a pretty good job today about putting stuff in here. Jeff Bezos, I got all those guys that I've talked about earlier. That's interesting. Anyway, so yes, I think that there is probably some algorithm issues that the LLMs have. However, I also think that part of it is just because there's so much slop out there on the internet that it's picking up. That there's an anti-American sentiment out there that also influences the learning of these models as well. But I think it is also part of the algorithm, and it's also just a part of the inability that some of these models have to just make. I think it's all of the above, I think, is would be more the best answer, because it would seem as if they just don't, the AI is not quite as smart as what people, that's what they would have you believe. Let's just put it that way. I think some of it's just ineptness as well as just, the algorithms themselves. So it's sort of on purpose.
Okay, that whole Gemini thing was absolutely unhinged. And honestly, it broke the internet for a second. Yeah. Like, people were going feral in the comments calling it out. But yeah. I think you're hitting on something real. It's not just bad coding. It's that these models are trained on literally everything, including Reddit threads, where people are mad and saying weird stuff. So the AI just absorbs all that noise and spits it back out. The slop is real, and it's definitely polluting what these systems learn. But yeah, there's got to be some intentional choices baked in there too.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the keys, we have to kind of realize, is that until they can come up with some kind of filtration, AI is just a machine learning. It's just there's nothing more than that. So some of the issues that we run into, quite frankly and quite simply, are just the issue of there's a difference between intelligence and wisdom and discernment. There isn't any, and until the AI models can become a discerning model where there's some kind of background understanding to be able to discern things, which requires wisdom. And wisdom is different than intelligence. And I think that's where we're going to run into the problem with all this stuff, is that it's just not going to happen. They're just not going to be able to do it until they get to that point. So you're going to be picking up, and some days are better more than others. I mean, it depends on what's showing up in the top of the search engine. That these guys are, that these things are looking at. So there are some days that I'll try to do some research, and it comes back with the same thing all the time, because it happens to be at the top of the news cycle or top of the whatever's going on. Whereas I think that if you know, and in other days it comes up, you know, it will come up with a whole lot of things, a whole lot of better things. And anyway, the yeah, so that's all I got to say about that. Anyway, good discussions, good thoughts today, and just some good things to talk about. I think we're gonna, because I don't have a whole lot of time, I'm gonna get kind of want to get the show out today and just, you know, get it out before it gets too late here. But appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate everybody doing it. We're gonna tomorrow's show. Well, let's just put it this way: it probably won't be a show tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wishy Washy Wednesday. Usually, I talk about politicians and that kind of thing. I know there's a whole lot of things going on with Lindsey Graham, and there's a whole lot of speculation about what's happening with that. But usually, we talk about flip floppers, political flip floppers. We may talk about that a little bit. But tomorrow's a long day. I have to get up extremely early, and I get done extremely late tomorrow. It's going to be a long, long day. So having said that, I may or may not be able to get a show kind of prepared for tonight that I can post tomorrow morning. That may happen. That's early enough now in the day that I may get that done. Can't count on that, however. So we'll have to see how that works out for us. But in the meantime, I have to be on like a 4 o'clock van or something to get to the airport to get tomorrow morning. So it'll be a very early day. I think it's going to be probably about 7 or 8 o'clock tomorrow night by the time I get home. So that's just going to be a long day. So Thursday and Friday, probably more of a regular show. But anyway, we'll talk about that right after this.
It's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah, according to me,
it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me,
it's the news.
Yeah, it's the news. According to me.
Okay, folks. Yeah. So tomorrow, like I said, I've already kind of told you what's going on with the show. So. Yeah, where all that stuff's happening. Anyway, the lots of dinging going on in the background. I'm getting my phone's kind of blown up. So, in the meantime, folks, I want to thank you for listening, for participating in our little experiment here with the podcast caller. It is kind of the only. I have no sponsor for this show. It's just kind of me doing my thing. In the meantime, folks, do want to thank you for listening as we go into the rest of the week. Hope you have a great rest of your week and a blessed time with you and your family, with you, whatever you're doing. May you just experience a great life the rest of the week. Just the rest of your life. Whole life. You bless your whole life. The rest of everything. Everything. Anyway, folks, God bless. Take care. In the meantime, I will... See ya.